Welcome to Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave. We're here with Victor Bonacci. Vic, say hi to our audience.
Hello, audience. How you doing? Hi, Dave.
Vic is the founder of AgileCoffee.com. Today, we will talk with Vic about peer coaching. So, Vic, what is peer coaching?
Great question. Sometimes I even think of pair coaching as just plain pair working or pair anything. For the most part, pair coaching for me just has to do with what I do in my daily work life, which is coaching teams, coaching individuals, mentoring, training, and even the learning that goes along with it. So, when I do things alone, by myself, when I'm doing this coaching activity alone, I don't always get the feedback, or I don't always know if I'm correct. I may be making a glaring mistake and I don't always catch it. So the idea of including a second person in there gives you that sounding board, that person to bounce things off of, someone to help you course correct. We do everything in two people, with two people. We can do just about everything with two people. Not just pair programming in the Agile work life. So why not try pair coaching?
Vic, who would you typically pair with? Someone more or less experienced, or both?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge range. It could be either. It could be any of the above that you just mentioned. Certainly someone at your own experience is a great way to start. Someone with more experience might be an even better way to start. But it really depends on who's got more experience doing what. For example, to take an example outside of the Agile world, right, outside of work world in general, you think of like a father and a mother. They are a pair raising a child. So it's probably harder if you're a single parent to raise a child, to go through all the things and learn all the lessons. If you're both in it together, chances are that you're both at the same experience level going in. So you learn together. And then over time, one parent, one part of the pair might become more experienced at a certain capability than another, and you help each other over time learn that out.
I'm glad you brought that up. Is this practice limited to Agile only?
Yeah, well, there you go. And I didn't get that analogy myself, although, it makes great sense, and I wish I could claim it. But Eve, there's another person in the space of pair coaching. His name is Yves Hanula, and he's Belgian, and he talked about the role of mother and father before. So I mean, that's an obvious one where pair coaching or pair working can happen outside of the Agile practice. But if you think about it, throughout your education, throughout your career, your early part of your career, and even into this more mature phase of your own career, you've probably been pairing with someone along the way, even though you might not have called it that. In school, you may have been partnering up with someone. Maybe the teacher at the head of the class asked you all to form pairs and work on some projects together, and one of you might have had more aptitude at, say, mathematics, and so that person was kind of helping you figure out, like, long division, say, or you know better how to throw a free throw, and so the partner on the court that you were pairing with, you were teaching them kind of the more mechanical aspects of that move in basketball, for example. So I think that there are opportunities to do this pair learning or pair working, certainly outside of Agile. When you move into the workspace, whether you're working in an Agile environment or not, I think that we've all needed someone to show us the ropes around the organization, to sit down with us and kind of learn technical practices, whether it's mastery of a programming art or some other discipline. And certainly you've had experiences training people, maybe one-on-one or mentoring people. But then when you move into an Agile environment, the opportunities just open up and you see Agile practices that can benefit from pairing virtually everywhere you look.
So you would say this is a form of mentoring or coaching that helps another person to get better in their field.
That's it, exactly. But I think it goes beyond that. If you think about Scrum, how Scrum is practiced, we have a Scrum Master, we have a Product Owner, and then we have the team. Now, the Scrum Master and the Product Owner are probably the best example of a pair already existing in Scrum. The Scrum Master and Product Owner work hand in hand as they prepare the backlog, help the team, teach the team how to write stories, how to split stories, how to estimate their work. One partner, say the Scrum Master, might take more of a backseat role in some instances where the product owner is kind of at the forefront of the engagement. At other times, it might switch where the product owner is kind of more as acting as an observer, kind of course correcting along the way, as the Scrum Master might lead a ceremony, for instance.
So a pilot, co-pilot kind of a scenario.
Yeah, that's a great model for it. I mean, Han had Chewie, Michael had Kit, you know, we all need our co-pilots, right?
That's for sure. So how did you become interested in peer coaching?
That's a great question. I think about it often because, like I say, we've been doing pair coaching, pair learning all our lives, basically. But I wasn't aware of the term pair coaching until only recently, relatively recently. A few years ago, when I was working at SendGrid, I was hired as as the first Agile coach there. And for probably 8 months or so, I was the only Agile coach, and there were no other Scrum Masters hired, but rather I was working with the teams, and each team was designating one person as a Scrum Master. So I was training them and working with them. And it wasn't until, like I say, about 8 months or so into the engagement where we brought on a second Agile coach. And then I started to kind of exhale, you know, and brought him up to speed on a lot of the cultural, institutional knowledge at the company. He was sharing his experiences with me. We were trying to figure out ways that we can work together so that we can build these teams better, make them stronger, support them better, I should say, and helping them out along the way. So I'd say I got introduced to the term pair coaching shortly after that. I think it was in the springtime, maybe the late spring, early summer of 2012, somewhere around there when I started, you know, saying there's got to be a name for this. And then I found pair coaching and started, you know, researching it from then.
So what website did you visit to gather this information?
That's a great question. You know, I started, I don't know where I first saw the term pair coaching. But again, the Belgian person, Yves Hanuya, his name was all over everything. Anytime I Googled pair coaching, I saw Yves' name. And he's got, at his website, he's got quite a wealth of information there. It's his last name, and it's spelled HANOULLE.BE. It's a Belgian website there, but it's all in English. And he's got, like I say, a wealth of information. He's also been interviewed a couple of times. So, you know, if you type in pair coaching, his name will pop up anywhere along the internet. But there isn't any one website these days. Yves had a website, paircoaching.net, and he actually gave the domain back to the community. He has a very pure heart, and I love the spirit of what he did by giving it back. And now actually that website points to a Google group that we could talk about later, but right now there's not any one kind of centralized, there's not a lot, I should say, of centralized knowledge out there on it. So I just kind of picked and choosed or learned from fits and starts over the years.
How would this help another coach become better in his or her craft?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. And I think that's the point. Not only are you, as a coach, being more effective as a coach to your teams and your organization, but you as a coach or as a person are learning more and either learning more about yourself or about the discipline of coaching by pairing up. So as we said earlier, you can have the pilot co-pilot metaphor where one person is kind of driving and the other person may be navigating. A driver and navigator is the same thing. So that one person is actively kind of taking control of the wheel, of the situation, whether it's a training event or whatnot. And the other person might be more of an observer, kind of not integrating themselves into the conversation or the engagement so much as just kind of taking notes, preparing feedback to give it when asked, kind of being at the ready. So should I be, say, for example, training a TDD class or something, you might be in the background in the back of the room, rather, kind of just watching over the crowd, seeing if there's someone who needs a little bit of extra attention in the class, someone who's just not getting it.
So TDD is test-driven development.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just using that as an example, but yeah, TDD is a course that I've taught a couple of times, and I've benefited from having a second person with more experience in the room observing me. Now, that person, I could call upon you, say you've got much more experience in TDD than I do. I could say, you know, for this next part, I'm going to let Dave kind of walk us through this example. I'll call on you as a subject matter expert. And then this way, I'm learning from you. I'm getting experience, you know, benefiting from your experiences that you're sharing with the class, but I'm internalizing them because, you know, maybe I could use them in my own training script coming up, like in the future. I can say, oh, I like how he's training this part, so I'm learning from you. But going back to your original question, how does it help you become better in your own craft? I think that whenever you're charting new territory, say you're going through a dense forest, you know, and there's no real path that you're trying to find, you're experimenting along the way, you're forging your own path. And when you have a second person, that person can help serve as a sounding board to you for your logic. They're learning as well. They don't know the path, but maybe you know, you come to a place where you have to make a decision. Should we go east or should we go west here? And that person really kind of helps inform the decision. Again, they don't know as much as, you know, as they're just like you. They, as much as you know, they know. But I think having that extra person to sit there and validate your assumptions is probably a good thing. So I mean, more practically, when you talk about how does it help you learn on your own, say we're learning something called systems thinking, and I haven't done any research, nor have you, and we're like, okay, where do we start? What's the plan that we can make together so that we can hold each other accountable and benefit from each other's findings along the way? So if I was just learning it on myself, I might, you know, go to YouTube and find some videos, and maybe they're talking about it the right way. Maybe they're not, but I don't know because I'm new to it. Maybe I'll find a couple of books and start reading. But again, no one's holding me accountable. Now, if I'm pairing with you and we're both trying to learn at the same time this new concept, whatever it may be, and I'm just using systems thinking as an example, then we might make a plan. We might say, hey, I found this book, let's read it together. So we'll read through a chapter, we'll put it down, and we'll talk about that chapter, and we'll kind of increase our understandings together that way. You might do the same thing by saying, hey, let's take this course together, or let's go to a conference. Stepping back from systems thinking, let's just say an agile conference with multiple tracks. Let's divide and conquer. You know, that way I'll go to these sessions, you go to those, and we'll come back and we'll compare notes. So we'll increase our learning that way as well.
If someone wanted to learn more about peer coaching and they were searching the internet, where would they go? Where would you recommend? Where did you go? What did you learn? How would you share that with someone else?
That's a great question too. I think that you've probably already started. If you're interested in pair coaching, you may have started, you know, longer ago than most of us. But if this is new to you, if you've just heard about this pair coaching, again, you've probably already done some activities along the way. You just haven't been aware of it. I think that if you want to actively dive into the world of pair coaching, the easiest thing to do, if you're already in a workplace, is just start becoming aware of it in your interactions with others. It could be if you're a scrum master, you could be looking at it every time you engage a product owner and thinking in terms of, okay, we are a pair, and how can I either learn from this person, or they can learn from me, or we could increase our skills together. And even talking about it, making it explicit when you're talking to someone, hey, I'm interested in this idea of pair coaching. And here's the benefits, here's what I expect to get out of it, and here's what you can get out of it too. And so that way, when it's more in your mind, you're more mindful of it, I think it's more apt to stick. Now, you'd asked me, like, how can we get started formally? Is there a formal place that you can kick off your learning? And to that, I say, I haven't found much out there yet. I've found, like I say, it kind of starts here and there. going back to Eve's site and some of the things that he's been interviewed on, there's certainly some good ideas out there. We've got actually a Google group that Eve started and I help him administer. He's got the domain that he handed back to the community, but now it's just pointing to the group, and it's pair coaching, all one word, paircoaching.net, and that'll redirect you to this pair working group on the Google Groups. It's got 73 people there last I saw. So I mean, that's a fine way. If anyone is interested in going there and they find that it can't get in, feel free to reach out to me. I can send you an invite. And
so how would someone get in touch with you?
Best way is on Twitter, using my handle, Agile Coffee. That's at Agile Coffee. Go to my website. There's other ways to contact me at agilecoffee.com. Anyway, that's one good site. I've got a couple of articles published on my website, agilecoffee.com. If you search for pair coaching, there's two or three blog posts that I put up there that talk about, you know, my own path, how I got into pair coaching and what are the benefits and how can you. In fact, I have one post that I'm really proud of, I'm really happy with, and it's the roles in pair coaching. And we'd already talked about the driver navigator role. We talked about the co-learner roles and the trainer observer role. But there's a couple others on there that you can get familiar with too. And situationally, you can start to see where can I apply this role versus what makes more sense, when can I apply another role.
The reality is you're one of the thought leaders in this space. We could learn things from you.
I'm more of a thought follower. I follow my thoughts. I don't know. But yeah.
Any final words for our audience? Things that you think they should discover and know?
Well, other people that you would want to look up, as I've already mentioned, Eve's name. And I don't know if you're going to have show notes or if you'd like me to just spell it here, but there's also a guy named Joshua Kirevsky. He's the founder at Industrial Logic. I think he may have actually come up with the term pair coaching like a decade ago or so. Eve and his father wrote this game called The Leadership Game, where they first started integrating pair coaching into their training. And then someone named Declan Whelan also has been involved with pair coaching. So those are a few other names that you might want to try Googling.
Isn't Declan involved with the Agile Alliance? I believe he is.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I would expect. I mean, when you think about it, Kent Beck and Ron Jeffries, a bunch of people who were these early initiators of this Agile movement. Kent, when he was writing, going into what is extreme programming and fleshing that out, he came up with the idea of pair programming. And pair programming is, and there's a lot of research behind that, how to make programmers better, saving time by having two people on it. And so you would think that pair coaching might have been talked about at a much earlier stage.
I attended a Scrum Day event in Orange County, California, and you gave a presentation on pair coaching. But you also used dominoes to help us understand pair coaching, and you played a very interesting game. So share more with our audience on how did you intend to use that game to help us understand pair coaching better.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I was looking for a way to better get these concepts of how can pair coaching help us. And I couldn't find a really good game about reinforcing those. So what I ended up doing was thinking about how can I construct a game that can either, talk about the benefits of pair coaching or at least explain the roles in pair coaching, which is more what I ended up doing, is just kind of talking about the different roles. So you can go to the website, agilecoffee.com, and find the pair coaching domino game. And there's a video of it. It's almost an hour long, I think. And in the video and in the post, I talk about what are the roles first. And then to get into the game, what I did was I found a set of dominoes. It's called a double nine set. So every tile, every brick of a domino has two sides, a left and a right, and each side can have 0 to 9 dots on it. And I thought, wow, dominoes are great because they've got the two sides, so left and right, just like a pair has two people. And a 0 to 9 could be a scale of experience. How experienced is this person acting as a coach or a team member, a scrum master, whatever it is? So someone with a 0 or a 1 or a 2 is less experienced, much less experienced. And someone with an 8 or a 9 could be considered an expert. So the game consisted of each person having a domino to start and then finding someone in the room more or less randomly based on, you know, I've got a domino that has a 5 and a 7. So I have to find somebody else with either a 5 or a 7. So we pair each other up that way. And say I have a 5 and a 7 and you have a 1 and a 7. So we pair up with the 7s because we have the 7s in common. So then I used my other number, which would be the 5, and you use your other number, which is the 1. And now that's our experience level. So I've got a 5, so I'm an average experience. I've been doing something for a few years maybe. And you've got a 1, which means you're basically a beginner at whatever. So you can pick any hypothetical. You can say it's teaching Scrum methods to a class. Maybe I've done trainings, a handful of trainings. You might not have done any trainings at this point. So how can I help you or we help each other get better? And so that was the kickoff for the game. It's like, okay, it's randomizing not only who we're meeting with and who we're working with, but also our experience levels. And then as a pair, we're talking through what roles can we use? Could we use this driver navigator or co-learning role or any of these other roles to accelerate our own learnings? And after you talk for a few minutes, then you exchange dominoes. So I take your 1-7 and I find someone else now, not with a 7, but with a 1. So I think as a first pass on the game, it seems like it could use some fine tuning, but still, I think it got enough good feedback that it gave me enough confidence that this is a game worth exploring and trying to make better to teach the roles of pair coaching.
Vic, I had a great time playing the domino game during your presentation. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. Vic can be reached at Agile Coffee on Twitter.
It was a pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me.